Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Kuf. I understand that Avraham Mendel already started the Mishnah on Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, but he also gave a caveat that we would probably repeat it again today. So in fact, we're going to do a quick chazor of the Mishnah, which we have to do to understand the Gemara properly. And for all those of you that are listening via email, etc., my apologies that some of the recent shiurim have been in segments. That's because we were often giving the shiur on buses or on planes, and every few minutes there would be another announcement, so we'd have to take a break and we'd have to start again. So my apologies to everyone. Anyway, all this, you didn't get any of the shiurim. They're all going to be uploaded or downloaded today. They're all in this machine, though. We have shiurim, Baruch Hashem, from Thursday, Friday, even from Shabbos, because the Shabbos shiur was given on Sunday and Monday. So there are five shiurim, but a couple of the shiurim are in segments, two or three segments, because of announcements and disturbances and breaks that we had to make in between the shiurim. For those of you that don't know what I'm referring to, we just came back from a whirlwind tour of Kerestura, where you had thousands of people coming to the Kaiva, the oil from Reb Shaya, the Kerestiras, Chis Yugalaini, the Al Kol Yisroel. Just to go and tell a very short story, I was, during the whole Shabbos, they told all types of mufsin and nisim, etc., etc. On the way back from Kerestura, sitting together with me on the plane, it was a person who I don't know, and I asked him, "Nu, how? What's your shaykhus to Kerestir?" He says he was one of the people that was serving throughout Shabbos and helping out in the kitchen, helping out with the meals. I said, "Do you get paid for that?" He said, "No, Baruch Hashem, I have panusa berevach. He works for a bank. He doesn't need." So I said, "So why do you do it?" He says he wants to thank Reb Shaila for the moifis that he made for him. I said, "What was the moifis?" He said he had been married for a few years. He had, Baruch Hashem, two children. But then for the next 6 years, nothing. And they spoke to the gynecologist, and they spoke to obstetricians, they spoke to their doctor, and yet a doctor. There was no plausible reason for why they didn't have any more children. So he went up for Yotzat Reb Shaila, and he said, "Reb Shaila, please." He says, "And Reb Shaila, I want you to know, if Mir Hashem, I'm going to have, if you venture me with a son, then I'm going to call him after you, Reb Shaya. And if I have a daughter, I'm going to call it after the Rebbetzin, who was Sarah." And then after that, he said, when he was there at the oil, he remembered, "Oh, 1 second, I have to ask my wife for permission. Maybe she has." So he said, "Reb Shaya, I make a change. If my wife agrees, we'll call the son Shaya. And if the wife, and if she agrees, we'll call the daughter Sarah." Good. Anyway, he gets home, he told his wife. Wife says, 100% I must. For the rest of the year, he was Madlik and there every single day for the whole year. And he said, 1 year later, to not only to the day on Gimel Iyar, which is the day of the Yotzat, to the hour when he went up to Reb Shaila's oil, Baruch Hashem had a girl. And he says, and I want you to think that we're mixing up the hours. He says the difference in time between Europe and between America is 6 hours. This was twice. Lomazun, 12 o'clock at night. The child over here would be 6 o'clock in the evening. The child was born at that 6 o'clock a year later to the moment that he went up to the oil. And therefore, and Baruch Hashem, since then, he said, another child. So he is so thankful. That's why he went up to volunteer to help out in serving the 900 meals. That was just one out of many such stories that were told there.
Facility, a lot of stories about facility.
Well, anyway. Well, yes, Rabbi Cohen.
It's only on people in the Spalt Hashem.
They're all in the Spalt Hashem in the merit of these great tzaddikim.
You go to a cave, you
they're all good questions. Zok the Mishnah on Tzadik Tes Amid Beit. A person owns a field, and the field is being used by the public as, for instance, a shortcut, which is not uncommon in many more suburban or rural communities, where people have to go to shul, or they have to go to the store, or have to go somewhere, and to go arim and arim, it's very circuitous, it's much easier to be able to go through somebody's property. Ah, so you have to get an easement, as we visit. Anyway, so there was a derech haram that was a very sotech sedem. The person who owned the sada, he was not totally unhappy about the fact that he was accommodating the rabbim, but he was upset that they were going smack in the middle of his field. He preferred that they should go minhat sad, the middle of the field, as that's where he was presumably planting various crops, and it was not advantageous to have people traipsing through the middle of the field. So not levenos leminhat sad. What he did was he decided to go and transfer all the traffic to one of the sides of his field. Zok the Mishnah, Masha Nosan, Nosan, Vishaloy Lo Higiyoy. He hasn't accomplished anything. Meaning, Vishaloy Lo Higiyoy, the old path that went through the middle of the field, remains the public property. The public still has an easement to be able to go on that road. And Masha Nosan, Nosan, the brand new property that he gave on the side, he loses that as well. So he gets hit in two different ways. He loses the old, he loses the new, he hasn't accomplished anything. Of course, it seems quite strange. We're going to discuss it in Mirchim as we get into the Gemara. And the Mishnah continues, Derech HaYochid, what is if a person contracts to sell on his property a Derech HaYochid, is someone who says, I want to go through your property. The owner says, fine, pay me $5,000 and you have an easement to go through my property. He only wants a derech hayochid. How much does he get? Dalet ames. The width will be dalet ames. Derech harabim, if the community wants to go and buy such a property and he sells it to them, then he has to give them sheish esrei ama. Why sheish esrei ama? Because you have to leave room not only for people to walk through, but for traffic, like carriages and chamoyrim and this and that. Derech hamelech ein lo shir. The melech, if he wants to go and put expropriate property from other individuals to go and make a path for himself, English here, he can make it as wide and as long as he wants. He doesn't have to ask anybody for permission. The melech is the melech. This really, as the Rishbam says on Daf Kuf, this is really not negir to our Mishnah, because nobody is selling a derech hamelech. The melech just expropriates it. But since we speak about the dimensions of derech hayochid, derech harabim, we also mention that the derech hamelech has no dimensions, ein lashir. Somewhat similarly, derech akeva ein lashir. That means if, chas v'shalom, someone passes away, and there happens to be a Beis Chaim after somebody else's field, and the way to get to that Beis Chaim is to go through that person's field, he cannot protest and say, you're now going to go through the field. And the reason is because of Kavod HaMes. And therefore, even if you have thousands of people traipsing through his property, he cannot say, no, just go here in the middle. Ein lo shir. But the two Ein lo shirs in the Mishnah are not exactly the same, because Derech HaMelech Ein lo shir means that the Melech could even go and remove buildings that are in his way. He's not happy about the fact that there's a big building. Go and take it away. He has the full power and authority, because he's the melech. Derech HaKeva, you have no right to go and take away buildings. It's just when people are going for levaya to the kever of the mez, then they can go all over the property, and he cannot go and restrict them. Hamamot. Hamamot, as we'll see in Mitzvah and the Gemara on the Amud Beis, this was a custom in the times of Chazal, that after the kvura, people would come back, particularly the kroivim would come back from the kvura, and they would make seven stops. And those were called ma'amodois. And each one of the seven stops, they would stop there, have an opportunity to contemplate what just happened. V'acha yitan aliboy, that people should start doing tshuva, and say to themselves, life is so short, what do I need to do to accomplish something on this world? So now, if a person bought from someone else a ma'akoy ma'amod, he said, you happen to have a Beis Chaim near you, and we want to be able to go and make ma'amodot. What is the shir of a ma'amod? The Yonim Tzipori Omru, the Yonim of Tzipori, who are these people, says Rishbam, lo yisparish. We don't know who to identify as the Yonim Tzipori. Omru, they said that the shir is Beis Arbo or Kavan. Arbo or Kavan sounds like it's very, very small. But the Rishbam does us a favor and does some arithmetic for us. What's the arithmetic? Says the Rishbam, as you know, we have a shear from the Torah of a base sosayim, which is kechotzer hamishkan. What's base sosayim kechotzer hamishkan? The Torah tells us that the chotzer of the mishkan was 50 by 100. 50 by 100 turns out to be roughly 5,000 square amas. That's base sosayim. Now, if you go and cut that in half, and you only talk about a saw by definition is going to be 50 by 50, which is going to be 2,500 square amas. Now, that's a saw. We all know that a saw is how many kavan mendi? How many kavan the saw? Six kavan the saw. Here we're talking about four kavan. Four out of six is two-thirds. So it's going to be two-thirds out of the shear, which would mean instead of 50 by 50, we're going to go and do two-thirds of 50 by 50. How much is two-thirds of 50? Anybody have any idea?
1,700 square.
Okay, let's talk about two-thirds of 100. Two-thirds of 100, everybody would agree, is 66.6666. Since it's two-thirds of 50, it should come out roughly 33.33333. Right? So now if we're going to multiply 33.33 times 50, how much do we get to? also pretty complicated, but it's easy, because all you have to do is now 33.33 times 100, and that gets you to 3,333. Now split it in half, because we're only doing it by 50 and not by 100. So what's half of 33,333? That would be 1,666,666.66666. Which means that the space that we're talking about is not, as we started off, a base assign, which would be 5,000. It's not a base sa'a, which is 2,500. It's two-thirds of the 2,500, which would mean 1,666 square amas. Yes, that's quite big. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that that would be the shear of the mamad. We shouldn't think, well, four kavin, here, dalet al dalet, four amas. No, we're talking about quite a large shear, 1,666 amas.66. Anyway, we start off at the beginning of the Mishnah again. Person had a derech harabim straight through his field. He tries to go and redirect it on the side. It doesn't work. Why can he not take back his original shvil or derech harabim? After all, it's his property. Why can't he? Let him sit down at the entrance to his property. Let him hold in his hands a pizra. Today we would say it's a pizra, is like a baseball bat. Rishbam says, Rishbam doesn't use the metaphor baseball bat. Apparently that was not well known at the time of the Rishbam. So instead he talks about taking a mako, an ashtekin, a stick, or a rachas shekoyrin forka, which means a pitchfork. A pitchfork. So he took a pitchfork in his hand, or he took a long stick in his hand, and he's there, says Rishbam, Leisim hu derech lahakos is kol mishir tzalavar. Let him go and stand there or sit there and say, hey, you want to go through? He gave me a brim cup. I'm going to go and hit you over the head if you're going to try to go through. Why can he not do that? It's his property. Says Imar Lachoyer Shabbos Mina, Lachoyer, we should see from there, the Loy Ovid Inish Dina Linafshe, Afilu Mokum Seida. So this itself happens to be a big, big sugya that we've had before in the Gemara. A machloikis, whether or not a person is allowed to be a what we would call in English, self-help remedies. You know for sure that the law is on your side. You know for sure that the other guy is a crook. Do you have to go to the police? Do you have to go to the attorney general? Do you have to go to court, to Bezdin? Or can you yourself say, I know what the law is, ich bin atam and hochem, and therefore I'll take matters into my own hands, and I will, etc. Are you allowed to do that? So that's a machloikis hashal and imar. By the fact that we don't allow him to do that, l'choira is a raya that a person cannot go and take matters into his own hand, of Philip Makam say that even when there is a hafzit. Otherwise, why couldn't he sit there? The Rishbam, and take the shtekin in hand. And the Rishbam even adds to that, after all, no one in the community will lose out, because instead of going smack in the middle of the field, they go to the right, they go to the left, but they still have that same derech harabim to go through his property. And that being the case, it should be koifer al midas adoyim. We should go and say to the whole oilam, Rabbi Yisai, he needs the property for plowing, for planting. You know, be nice. It doesn't cost you any money to go to the right, to the left. So why doesn't he have the right to go and stop everyone by holding on to this pizra? Is the choyra simen le'ovid in ishtim l'anavshifil mokum said. So Akhtimar, no. You have no raya, and the Gemara gives us three separate reasons, all of which are similar but different. Amrav Zvid, Mishmei Derava. In truth, a person normally would be able to go and stop everyone from traipsing through his property by giving them the moral equivalent, the physical equivalent, to the right and to the left. Normally it would not be an issue, and you could do that. Why does the Mishnah say you cannot do that? That the new path that he's going to give them is going to be a crooked path. Instead of a nice, beautiful, straight path through the field, he's taking them in a tzad, but he keeps on going in circuitously and up and down and back and forth, and you have to go up mounds and down mounds into valleys and hills and this and that. It's going to be very complicated and very crooked. How's that? But without that gzeira nechanami, he would be able to go and transfer the one derech harabim to the tzad instead of down the middle, and a person would be able to of an inish dina lenafshin. That's pshat number one. He goes one step further, and he says, be'emesin minadin, you are allowed to go and transfer the derech harabim from the middle to the side. And there is no gzeira. The Mishnah that says over here, that that he does not have a right to get back his old derech harabim. It's talking about benoizim derech hakaltzin. It's talking about not that he's gezeira, but rather in a situation where the substitute path through his field is not a clean, clear, smooth path, but it's such a crooked path, that's when the Mishnah says that he doesn't get back his original path. But Eino Chanami, if he gave them a super duper highway on the side, which really is beautiful and nice and paved and good and fine, he'd be allowed to do it, no problem whatsoever. It's only when it's a derech hakaltzain, which a crooked path, the word crooked is lav dafka, that it's skewed, it means that it's not an easy, even path like the one that he is getting back, but he's trying to get back.
If the earlier one was a crooked path, and now the derech rabbim was before the derech rabbim was taking a crooked path, and now he's seeing them from the side, and it's straighter, shouldn't that be...
According to this new pshat in the Gemara, if the new path is a better path, or at least as good as the old path, he has a right to do it. That Aramisha says he cannot do it is Davka B'Noisan Derech HaKaltzen, where the new path is in some way inferior or deficient compared to the first path. But where it's a good path, no problem. In fact, look at the last Rishpam. Ramashau Shemshmei Derova Omar, two lines at the bottom. Heicha Denoslem Derech Yosher, if he gives him a nice, smooth, clear path, Amrin Shalohi Giyoy, Einachanami, he could get back his original path, Velinkoy Pizr V'Leisev, and he could be sitting there and taking the baseball bat in his hand and saying, Rabbi Yisrael, don't go through. The Lord goes, Rishon Shem Yitin Lim Derech HaKaltzen. And we don't have this Kseira. Avahachim Amaya Skinin, why over here do we say that he does not get back his old path? Shadovi Yedua, Shinos Lim Derech HaKaltzen. Everybody knows. People are going through the new path and they say, oh, Halavai, we can go back to the old path. The old path is so nice and sunny and scenic and da, ba, 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 ba. And this new one is terrible. So this is pshat number two, when he gave them a bad path. Rav Ashi Omar was up there.
Somebody paid for a prophecy.
Right.
What right the public has to...
That thing Omar is going to address shortly. At the moment we're not addressing that question, we're addressing why can't he get back his property. So the first reason is because of Gzeira. Second one is because the new substitute is inferior or deficient. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says... What we just said now is correct, but he takes it the next step. By definition, anything which is on the side and not down the middle is in itself going to be a less perfect path. In other words, again, it doesn't have to be crooked, but it won't be as good as the first one. Why not? Because for those people that are coming from the right side of this field, if they're going to go make the path on the left side, then they're going to have to walk that much more to get to that so-called shortcut or path that they want to go on. And the same thing for Pung Faket. Those people that are coming from the left side of the field, if the path is going to be in the right side of the field, it's going to be far for them to walk. So therefore, even though this person had the best of intentions, but Lamaisa, the new path, will not be as desirable as the old one for 50% of the population. 50% of them would have preferred it being closer to them and not further away. So therefore, that's why you cannot go and take back your original path. Okay, fine. I understand now the three reasons why you can't get back your original path. However, since he was not successful in making a replacement or a substitute path, so at least let him get back the new path. Okay, I hear you loud and clear. Because of this concern of the Derech HaKaltzayin, you, the Rabbim, retain your path. But at least give me back my new path. After all, I'm only giving it as a substitute, not as an additional path. If the Rabbim has decided to go and choose a path, the Gemara is using very interesting terminology. They chose a path. I mean, all they have to do is make an announcement.
It's been established for a long time, the Rabbim goes this way.
We're going to develop this. Reb David, you're two steps ahead of us after we're going on the correct path over here, and you're already a couple of steps ahead of us on this path. But Reb Leizer says that there is a rule that Rabbim Shabiru Derech La'atzmon, it doesn't say how they were coined this path, and the Gemara is going to ask that in another 15 lines or so. The Gemara is going to say that they were coined the path by walking on the path. The Gemara is going to bring a raya from Avraham Avinu. We'll see him yetchim shortly. Anyway, what does Reb Leizer say? Rabbim Shabiru Derech La'atzmon, Rabbim that went and chose a path for themselves, Ma Shabiru Biru, whatever they chose is theirs. And therefore, since they chose that, Rashbam says that we're referring to the new path now. We're not referring to the old path. The old path, he doesn't get back because of the three terutzim about the Derech HaKaltzer. The question is, why can he not retain his new path? So therefore the Gemara is saying is, what happens if the Rabbim themselves decided to go and take a path for themselves? They get it. As Kolshkin says, Rishbam, where he, the owner of the field, actually gave them a path. If Madach, they can go and take a path on their own, certainly he can go and give them a path. Once they got it, it belongs to them. For whatever you want, one second. Frank Timora. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbim Gazlanam Ninu. Does a person have a right to go and steal somebody else's property? We, the municipality, not, you know, 12 people come out of davening and they say, you know, each time we always have to walk around the block to get to shul. It would be so much better if we can go straight through. And this guy over here, yeah, this terrible, he doesn't let us go through. It's a mamish, a midas sedoim, terrible. Let's all go through his property. Do they have the right to do that? It's not their property. They have no right to go and trespass in somebody else's property. It's talking about that they used to have a path through that field for many, many years. And then for some reason, the path was abandoned, maybe because of bad weather, maybe because people moved away. Who knows? Whatever the reason was, there was a path through this property. And now the Oilim decided it's about time that we re-establish the path once again. And Rabban Biru Derech La'atzman, they decided to go and create their own new path. Zokter Blazer, since they previously had an entitlement, they had an easement for a path years ago, even though for some time it was lost, they have a right to go and make a brand new path. Freytiwara, Lechoyra, this makes a lot of sense. If they had an easement and they're entitled to a path, so why can't they make a new path? Ihochi amai omer rab bar rav huna omer rav. This is the same Rav. I mean, because Omer Rav Gidl Omer Rav Kigon Shav Dlehem, and now Rav Huna Omer Rav says, "Ain't a loch Rav Blazer. We don't pass like Rav Blazer. Why should we pass like Rav Blazer? What Rav Blazer is saying makes a lot of sense. They originally had a path. The path was lost. The Rabbim decided to go and choose a new path. So why does Ain't a loch Rav Blazer? What's wrong with that? Every word, Mad Masni Ha, Loi Masni Ha. Meaning, we have a machloikis hatalmidim of Rav. What did Rav say vis-a-vis this halacha of Rebbe Lezer? Rav Gidl Amar Rav says that Rav holds like Rebbe Lezer, but only in a case of Avdel Henderech, that there was originally a path, it was lost, and they made now a brand new one. Therefore, they had the right to do so, and that's good and fine. Rabbi Rav Huna said, no, Rav explained Rebbe Lezer even in the case where there was no prior lost path. That if Rabbim Vir Derech La'atzman, it's theirs. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Rav Huna, Rav says, Ein Lach Rebbe Lezer, that Rach is not like Rebbe Lezer, because if there was no previous path that got lost, then how could you pass like Rebbe Lezer that Rabbim Birlehen, they don't have a right to go and steal property, is the Chagazlorim, you know. So there's a machloikis between Rabbi Rav Huna and Rav Gidl as to what the Rebbe Rav said vis-a-vis Rebbe Lezer. Is he talking about Dafka She'ovlem Derech or Loyovlem Derech? In other words, Rabbi Rav Huna learned differently than Rav Gidl as to what Rav said. But let me understand now. The Tam Amai. According to the original pshat that we said, remember, what's the kasha that we are grappling with at this time? We're asking the kasha, why can the owner of the field not take back the original path? Well, that we already addressed with three answers, because the new path is either gzeirim mishum derech akaltzain, or is it derech akaltzain, like we spoke about before. Fine. So he can't get back his original path. But what about the brand new path that he gave to them? Why can't he say, well, if I was not successful in substituting one for the other, give me back my new path? That's what I said, Abishim Reb Lezer, once the Rabbim has gotten their path, it's theirs, you can't take it back anymore. How did they get it originally? They're Gazlanim? No, it's talking about your Avlehem Derech. But according to Rabbi Rav Huna, that said, no, that if you did not have that Rav, when he was talking about Rebbe Lezer, it was not talking about that they lost a path, but rather it's talking about that the Rabbim Stam took for themselves a path. No, so how did they have entitlement to that path? The time of my Rav Yehuda. Oh, a new pshat. Rav Yehuda, mate, shechzika by Rabbim, also the kalkalai. Says Rav Yehuda that a meitzer means a border between two properties, a boundary between two properties. If Rabbim went and set up that meitzer, Also, the calculator, you're not allowed to go and take it away. How does this answer anything? So Rishbam says, you have a person that owns a field. All of a sudden, Rabban decide to go and pave a nice path. They call it a meitzer. Meitzer meaning a boundary or border, because we've had earlier on in the Bavois that when they made meitzer, the meitzer typically was either somewhat higher than the rest of the field or somewhat lower. So it would be a line of demarcation that people would know where the property ends. Oh, I see this is higher, it's lower, it's different. So now if the Ram decided to go and bring construction workers to go and make this meitzer that should be higher or lower and that people should be able to go on it, says Rishbam, the Baal HaSodah should have protested immediately and just, hey, Chaver, get out of here, this is my property. But the fact that he let him stay is a siman that he gave them a chazaka. As we know from early on in our Masechta, although Bederech Klal a chazaka is after 3 years, however, that's if you're talking about normal cases. Here, however, if the Baal HaSodah is right there, and the Oilim wants to go and take over part of his field, he can't go to, oh, let the user for 3 years, I'll go and protest 3 years later. No. Then you have to be Moichel Alter. Since he was not Moichel Alter, he loses it. And that's the reason why, according to Rav Gidl Omer Rav, that's Pshat in our Mishnah, why he couldn't get back his new property, because the Oilim already made a chazak on it, it's already theirs, and he cannot get it back. Okay, that's the end of the shtickle. Now the Gemara goes back to Reb Lezer. Remember, Reb Lezer says that Ram Shabiru Derech La'atzman Ma Shabiru Biru. Pray to Reb Lezer. Rabim B'mai Kadulei. How will they coin it? In other words, the word Biru alone sounds like they just went and made a decision. If you look, there's a short toisis over here, right before the wide light. Reb Lezer, Rabim B'mai Kadulei. The Biru L'Anderech Mashma B'loi Shum Tikun B'Breir Ba'alma. They didn't do anything on this field. All they decided was at a public meeting, they got together after davening, after the daf, and they said, Rabbi Yisai, we want to go make a derech, let's all go on mas, we'll go through it and finish it, biru lehem. So what type of kinyan did they make that it should belong to them? Everything would be lucha. The walking on the property itself, that was the kinyan. Where did you ever hear that he lucha is a kinyan? Decided we learned at a braisa. Holach bo li orkul rachba, Kana Mokim Hiluchai, Divrei Reb Lezer. This is the same Reb Lezer as before. If a person goes on a brand new property, for instance, a lokeach, a kona, wants to be koina the property with chazaka, although there's normally the rule of, what's the rule? By chazaka, what do you have to do? Rafik Laporta, good, or? God Uparatz, all he has to do is either put up a gather, Masha exactly has to do some sort of improvement to this property, either Godar or Paratz Koshu or Rafik Baporta, as you said. Our Gemara is now introducing a new chidush that you can even be koinah b'chazaka through hiluch, through walking. Where did you ever find something like that? Yeah, Siduazazach. The Braisa tells us that if a lokeach who's buying the property, Holach Bola Orkel Rachba, all he did was he went the length of the property, he went the width of the property, Kana Belucha, he was Koina Behilach. Where does this come from? That's Reb Lezer. I'm sorry?
Somebody walks with somebody's property, he wants to buy it. The other person has no intention of selling him. Why should he be able to buy it?
Here we're talking about that there's a sale. This is a real sale, bona fide sale.
But here the person doesn't want to relinquish it.
He didn't sell it to the public.
Exactly.
The Kasha, the Gemara now is what was the technical, mechanical form of Kinyan. As to how, when, where, he wanted to, he didn't want to, that's not the discussion now. If you want to know, so what was the answer to the question? The answer to the question is that Eina Chanami, when the Rabbim first made this path, they established this Meitzar, this border to be able to walk and take a shortcut through the other person's property. He, the landowner, should have immediately made amacho mitavayitzaku and prevented them from doing so. By the fact that he remained silent, is a siman that he was moichel, and he said, okay, I'm doing a toivim for the rabbim, sometimes they get a toivim. 6 months later, he woke up and said, what do I do? I'm crazy, you know, and they're walking through my property, thousands of people all the time, it's disturbing me, and I took away from my property, I changed my mind. He can't change his mind because he was moichel at the time that they originally made that meitzar. That's why he loses it.
There were conditions when he made it. Now the conditions change, so it's not the same thing.
Exactly. A handful of people, now it's hundreds and thousands.
They're doing something different.
He should have thought about that originally. Look at the Rishbam right before the wide lines, not the big wide lines, the middle wide lines. Rishbam, echziku boy rab.
How are the people? It's a problem.
It's a meitzar shezik rab. Says Rishbam. What did they do? They didn't just start walking. Sheshvu. They went and leveled it. Bitoknu, and they went to masakin it. They improved it. Lihiluch, for people to walk. In other words, they took away any branches, any twigs on the floor. They took away the stones. They made a nicer pavement or whatever. But Balaam Yodu, Balaam knew about it. They were sitting there and they saw it. Vishosku, they were quiet. Also, Lekalkoi, after that, he cannot take it back. Devadai
l'rabim mochal. One of the basics of Kinyan is Kinyan balus.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, when the public is going to something, the public cannot say, I'm balbos over this, because no one is a balbos. So how does the Kinyan work for the public declare the concept if there is no balus?
So the answer is, it's not that they own the property, they have a permanent easement on that other person's property, a permanent lien on the other person's property. For those of you that are not familiar with the term easement, it's like anybody that lives here in an apartment, one of the apartment houses here on the west side. What happens if he decides he wants to live like the Alte Zeitis lived, without electricity? He's just going to go and use candlelight. So therefore, every electric wire in his house, he goes and cuts every wire coming into the apartment from all sides. Guess what happens? Then, of course, the people upstairs and downstairs start banging and screaming, we don't have electricity. It's my apartment. I have the right to do what I want with my apartment. You have no right because there's an easement on every person's property. And if you look in your leases, if any of you have a lease, or if you own a condo or a co-op, it would say on it that there is an easement for electric lines and water lines and sewer lines and gas lines, etc. You can't go and say, well, I only live in my little cube. I do whatever I want. There's an easement for other people. See, here too, the rabbim, by leveling this property and making a nice boundary and border on the border of this fellow's property, he was there, he heard it, he saw it, he should have made a macha. He didn't make a macha, and therefore they make their chazakah. We assume that he's moichel, and boom, he loses it. If he didn't want to be moichel, he should have protested immediately and not allowed them to do so. But the shaila now of the Gemara is not with regard to that. The Gemara's kasha, or the shaila now, is the mechanics. We said before, according to Blazer, Ram Shabiru, Derech La'atzman, Ma Shabiru, Biru. And the question is, how can one go and develop a kinyan just by making a decision at a town meeting? We're going to go through the person's property. We were biru. There are 12 different people, shcheinim, next to each other. We decided Yankel's property is the best place. Let's make a... You can't go and make kinyanim just by making proclamations. Biru. Says Gemara, it wasn't just a biru. Once they started walking on the property, says Rebbe Lezer Lishitosai, that is a kinyan. The Chum says, come on, Chumayim ain't hilach moil klum, achiyachzik, you have to make a proper chazaka. The proper chazaka is no'al godar uporat koshu, or rafik baporta, but do some sort of improvement to the property, not just walking.
Not their chazaka so much as his lack of protest. They can make chazaka till tomorrow. They come and start making chazaka. They come to this pitchfork. The guy starts to be right at them. It's clear if, the chazaka doesn't matter.
If,
it has to do. It's a different kind of sibling. You know what I'm saying? His acquiescence is what gives them the kinyan.
It's always a combination of the two. Every time you have a moicha and a lekeach, if the moicha says, I am not selling, and the lekeach says, I could care less if you're selling or not. I'm going to go into the property and make a no'al god aparat koshu. He made a beautiful kinyan, but it doesn't help because avadi could throw him out. Here the same thing. The Gemara is saying is that the rabbim didn't do any kinyan. They just walked through the field of Sankunish. So even if the balim is moichel, not moichel, even if he says, Rabbi say, I'm so happy, go every single day, 24 hours a day, but what kinyan did they make? So Treblezer, the kinyan they made was the hiluch itself. The Chum say, hiluch doesn't do it, actually, you have to do a no'al godar uporetz koshu. Where does Rebbe Lezer get this big chidush that mechanically just walking through the field affects a kinyan? On Rebbe Lezer, my time at Rebbe Lezer, dechsev, shteip Avram Avinu, kum hishalech ba'oretz le'orko ularachba, kilecho etnena. Just walk through the property, through Eretz Yisrael, and it's yours. Zeitman dachta, walking itself. It doesn't say, Avram Avinu, kum be no'al godar poretz koshu. It doesn't say, kum Ravik Bapur, that says his halach gay. Kilochatnana, that will be the kinyan. That's what Reb Lezer says. What did Rabbanah do with that pasuk? Rabban Hasim Mishim Chavivu said Avramu Deka Amalei Hachi. That's not an instruction manual for every individual. That's a special Chaviv Avram Avinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Avram Avinu, you are so close to me, I'm so close to you. You and your children are going to go and inherit Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, what's going to be the way to inherit it? You do this Hiluch, his Halach Ba'aretz Arko Rachma. But this doesn't apply to a private citizen. This applies to Avram Avinu. Why did Hakadosh Baruch Hu taket al Avram Avinu? Kidei shehei noyach lichboish b'fnei banav, so that in later generations, when his children are going to come to Eretz Yisrael, it should be easier for them to be koivish. Now you say to Eretz Yisrael, well, how is it going to be easier for them? Just because Avram Avinu went through the whole Eretz Yisrael, how is that going to help if they have to fight against the Kanani and the Prizi and the Chivi and the Chiti, Girgashi, etc.? Because Avram Avinu walked through it, now it's going to be all easier. How is it going to be easier? So the Rishbam addresses that question. It's the first wide of the real wide lines of the Rishbam, Kadesh Shehei Noyach, middle of the line, the Havalu Ki Yorshim, V'loi Ki Gazlonim, V'loiye Rishus L'Satan L'Katreg, V'loi Pischen Pe L'Bal Midasadin.
So why did they have to ask permission when they got there to be able to walk through and they were turned down?
Why did they have to? You're talking about Amon and Moav when they were going.
Yeah.
We're talking about Eretz Yisrael itself. Kum okay, South Eretz Yisrael.
But they had to go through that also. It also belonged to them.
The reason why by Amon and Moav, Amon and Moav is different than the seven Knanis and Chitzis and Chivi, the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael, because Amon and Moav happened to be our Mishpucha.
But you say Kol Eretz Malayu.
Why are they our Mishpucha? Because Amon and Moav, according to the Torah, they came from Lot, Lot's daughters. Lot is related to us, right? Lot was the nephew and the cousin for Avram Avinu and for Tzari Menu. Since it's a family, and Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you know, family members can't take it away from them. So
the Rabbim take it away from this other Jew?
I'm sorry, once again.
So the same way, the Rabbim are Jews taking away from another Jew,
and
trampling on his...
So remember, we're talking about leaving the blessing. And the Gemara asked already at the top, "Hey, Rabbi Gazlonim, hey, your kasha?" Said the Gemara, "Get the Rabbim, you're going to Avlan Derech Boiz Esada," that he originally, the Rabbim had such a path many, many years ago. How did they get it at that time?
Yeah.
Presumably, either he gave them a present or they paid for it. Now it's fallen into disuse because the demographics of the community were such that people moved away and they weren't around anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then there was gentrification and the Eden all came back again. And an Alt-Eid, 99 years old, says, "I remember Ich bin gegangen mit meinen Seiten, every single Shabbos we used to go through this person's property, and it wasn't just me, there were hundreds of people, we all went together through the property. Taka, there was such an easement. Where was that path? I have ancient, I remember, to right, to left, to the middle, ba-dum, says Reb Lezer, the Rabbim has a right to be biru derech liatzma. The question is, what establishes the mechanics of making this new path? Just walk! Walking is enough, according to Reb Lezer, just like Rav Avinu, come his halach ba'aretz, kilchot nana, that will be the path on the kinyan for the Rabbim. Zhokti gemoravaita. Omer Reb Yosi Reb Chanina. Even though there's a machloek between the Chum and Reb Lezer, where the hiluch ba'alma is koina, the Rabbanan say very strenuously and vigorously, "Ein hiluch moil klum," that's tavke by your regular field. Shvil shel kramim, hoy v'nasa lehiluch, nikna behiluch. If you're talking about a shvil shel kramim means a path through the vineyard. The path through the vineyard is made especially for people to be able to go and work to the right and to the left. As for all those of you that have ever seen vineyards, you know that you have rows and rows of vines which are held up.
Really established road.
Established road. The whole purpose of the Shvil Shel Kram is that people, the workers and the owners should be able to walk between one row and the other row. Nikna behiluch. There, everybody would agree that if the moicher is selling to the lekeach a shvil, you don't have to be, make a noah goda part of koshu. All you have to do is a hiluch, walk straight through. However, the Gemara now makes a certain qualification. What is the amount of hiluch that the person gets when he's going through the shvil shakram? In other words, Reuven sells to Shimon a shvil through his kerem. How wide does that shvil have to be? The width of that shvil has to be kihechi, so that Dorituna de Shebeshta, that this person can go and carry in his hands, on his back, a tuna means a last, a burden, a package, the Shabishta. Shabishta means, says Rishbam, Zemoirais, that means vines or branches from the vineyard. He's carrying them. Perhaps some of them are already old, and he wants to go and use them now. They dried out, and he wants to use them now for firewood or whatever. So he now has a whole package of these shabishta, of these dried out branches and vines in his hands. For Hodron, that he should be able to go and turn around as well. In other words, not that he has to constantly walk straight. If he wants to, at times, move a little bit to the right or to the left, he'd be able to turn around. Abisala, that's how wide this property has to be, the shvil shokramim that he bought. And this that we just added now, this Dori Tuna Dishabeshta, Ela de Mesayimim Mechitzta, when there are fences on both sides of the Shvil. Since there are fences, it's hard for him to go through if he has this big package, because as he's traveling, it keeps on hitting against either the right fence or the left fence on both sides. Avalei Mesayim Mechitzta, if all you have is vines and poles that are holding up the vines in this kerem, and there's nothing that blocks his way when he is carrying in his hands this tuna de shabishta, then you don't have to give him any special wide path. Rather, kihech de shakl kara monach kara, it's just enough as a footpath, just to go and pick up his foot to the right and to the left. In other words, just the width, basically, of the average individual. The width would be twice gavrib amsi yosef gimen amma, something along those lines. He's carrying this big load, which is perhaps two or three amas wide, but there's nothing that is interfering with it because there are no fences to the right or to the left. So all he gets is that footpath, and he can hold as many burdens, as many loads as he wants. He doesn't get more than that. Anyway, so we finished this whole shtickle. We're on to the next part of the Mishnah, which says that if a person bought a derech hayochid in somebody else's property, he gets dalet amos, meaning four amos wide, to be able to traipse through his property. However, Tan and the Brice will learn a cheder moimrim. No, yireshiyaver chamor bimasoi. You get something less. That amount is a person who's going either on the chamor or he's pulling the chamor, and the chamor is carrying its own pekel, its own burden. That's the amount of space. The Gemara doesn't tell us yet how much space that is. We'll see that in a moment. Anyway, so we have now a machlokes. Our Mishnah says dalet amos, and the Chinam says it's the chamor umasoi. Om ravuna loch kachin, we paskin like the acherim. Now, our gear is the Gemara of the tiny idach, but that would seem to be incorrect, because the Gemara quotes now Dayane Goyla, and we've had already Dayane Goyla a few times in our Masechta, that's referring to Shmuel and Karna. Shmuel and Karna were both Amoiroyim, so it would be inappropriate to use the expression Tanya Idach. So that's why you see the Dalit gets in Maseres Hashas, and he says, not Tanya Idach, but rather Tonu, that the Dayane Goyla learned. You see, there's another gift of Dayane Goyla. Oimrim, they said. It's not only the Maseres Hashas, but it's even the Rishbam himself says that this is incorrect years of the Tanya Idach, because it's when Amayroim, we're not talking about Tanoi. Anyway, what did they say? They said that the shear is Shnei Gamodim Umechza. What exactly is Gamodim? Rishbam has two pshatim. Either Gamodim means small amois, or it means regular amois. So it's Be'erach, approximately, we're talking about an amma. And therefore, Shnei Gamodim Umechza means 2.5 amas. Either small amas. What do you mean? What do you mean small amas? Aren't all amas the same? No, you can have sochkis and you have it. I'm sorry, it was up there? The Yonim of Goyla, that was Karna and Shmuel. Shmuel and Karna. They paskin that the amount that we're talking about is Shnei Gamodim Umechza. The Yom Ravuna said, Halach Yonim Yonim, we take a paskin like the Yonim Goyla, the Shnei Gamodim. But the problem is that the same Ravuna 2 lines ago said, Halach Kachayim. And the Chayim said that the shear is Kedeshiyav Chamor Bimasoi. And now the same Ravuna said, oh, the shear is 2.5 amas. Make up your mind. Oh, now we know the answer. When the Chayim said Kedeshiyav Chamor Bimasoi, what's the width that you need for Chamor Bimasoi? 2.5 amas. So our Mishnah said 4 amas. The Bryce says, Achayim says 2.5 amas. We paskin like the Achayim, there's 2.5 amas and not 4 amas. Why does it say in our Mishnah 4 amas if the Chamor b'Masoi is only 2.5 amas? So Rishbam said yesterday in the Mishnah, I'm sure Reb Mendel explained it all very, very beautifully, because when you're talking about the Derech Yochim and the 4 amas, you need that for Roichev Agola, the average carriage agola that's going, or wagon that's going through the field, the average was 4 amos wide. However, the chamor, of course, is much smaller, much narrower than this large agola, but it still has this masoi on its back. So chamor and masoi, you need 2.5. Agola, you need 4. So how much did he really sell? Our Mishnah says it's the 4 amos like the agola, and the Braisa says Achirim say it's 2.5 amos, and says Rav Huna, we paskin like Achirim, 2.5.
Why do you use this new word, Yamadu? Why don't we say 2.5 amos?
We frank good, so that's why the Rishbam has taka two pshatim. The first pshat of the Rishbam is amos ktanos. They're not wide amos, they're somewhat smaller amos. How can you have wide amos and smaller amos? So as you know, an amos, how many tefachim in an amos? Roughly 6, give or take, right? Was it 4? Was it 6?
6.
Good. So now, a regular amos is 6 tefachim. And the Gemara talks about tefachim, which are sometimes sochkis, or what's the other one?
And the full, they're spread out or they're tight.
Spread out and tight. In other words, you're talking about a tefach is the palm, it's the 4 fingers over here, because every tefach has 4 etzbois. So you can have 4 etzbois which are clenching very, very close to one another, and this becomes 3 inches. Or you can have that this small amount of space between, and then becomes 3.5 or 4 inches. So you have the same concept when you're talking about an amma, it can be slightly wider or somewhat smaller. And the word gemadim over here, according to the first Pshat Rishbam, means it's a small amma. This is big amma with a capital. It's still somewhat narrower. So assuming the Chazon Ish holds that it's up to 24 inches, 22 inches, 20 inches, a bit kleiner than the regular amma. Anyway, that's the first Pshat. Section Pshat
is the same, but the variation is in the width.
We're talking about the width.
The length. No, because if you have 6 ammas of spread out fingers, that expands to longer than 6 ammas.
Yeah, but we're discussing the width, because we want to know
the width of the path is measured in ammas.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
The width of the path is measured.
You're talking a little bit. Everybody's talking. Everybody agrees with one another.
Take over. You're driving.
No, I don't have to take over anything. We're not driving it. I gully have to drive. No, the point over here is that the length of the path presumably goes from one end of the field to the other end of the field. The question is the width of that path. The width of the path is 2.5 amas. We're talking about wide amas. We're talking about somewhat narrower amas. That's the difference between the two pshat. So you ask me why couldn't the second pshat, is it called gamda instead of just calling it amas? Amas is the term used in the Torah, and apparently the word gamda was used but in Aramaic, and therefore the Gemara is using an Aramaic expression to refer to the same thing. Yes, Rabbi Kahn.
How does the Chazon Ish come to say 24 inches as far as an amo?
Yeah.
Do we have any Kabbalah traditions that we've been considering all the time what an amo was?
You have nothing to worry about. Chazon Ish was such a brilliant person, he knew exactly what he was saying.
He was one of ours,
where do you get to start to think how to measure?
There are Svarim today that are written expressly on this subject of Shiurim, that goes through all the Shiurim.
Basic to use to be able to measure.
Anyway, we're getting a little bit off the path of the Derech Haram and Derech Yochid, and we go back on the path now. It said in the Mishnah, Derech Haram, Sheish Esri Yama. Tana Rabban, Derech Yochid, Arba Amos, like it says in our Mishnah. We don't pass them like that. We said to the 2.5 Kimbadim. Derech Me'ir Li'ir is Shmoina Amos. What means Derech Me'ir Li'ir? If a person was purchasing from a city, a road to go from city to city, as Rishbam explains, we're not talking about an international highway that's going to connect 25 different states with major intersections. We're just talking about one path connecting city A to city B. Then it's got to be Shmoina Amos. What's epi Shmoina Amos? To allow for 2 agolos to go in 2 different directions. In other words, you have one lane going from ear A to ear B, and the other lane is going from ear B to ear A, so there shouldn't be chas v'shalom a head-on collision. You leave 4 amos for each side, and that's why you have 8 amos all together. You see the Banam Rishbam, last line, Shmoina Amos, Shem Yifgidu, Shtei Agoloi Zu Bizu. If you have major traffic on this highway between ear A and ear B, you don't want it to be head-on collision. Shlo Yisakfu Zu Bizu. They shouldn't hit each other or collide or hold up one another in delay, because one has to go to the right and to the left. So you make an 8 amis, not an 8-lane highway, but you make an 8 amis lane so that both of them can go at the same time, one to A and the other to B. Derech Haram, onto the Amid Beis. Derech Harabim. Now what is this Derech Haram? The Rishbam says we're not just talking about one city to the other. We're talking about even to go to an Eretz Rechoika, far, Interstate 95 that's going from New York down to Florida. There you got to have major traffic coming from all states and cities and locales and blah, blah, blah. That's got to be much wider. Sheish, Esrei Amis, 60 Amis. Where do we learn the Shir of 60 Amis from? From the Agolis and the Mishkan. And this has application, Lagabi Hilchah Shabbos as well. Go, when you go, when we get back to Masechta Shabbos, we'll learn about this in greater detail. This also has some relevance even today. Lagabi 600,000 and Lagabi Erevin in modern large communities. Okay, and we continue on. Derech Ari Miklat, the path to the Ari Miklat, that was Shloishim Mishtaim Amis, had to be 32 Amis wide. The reason for that is that if Chas V'Sholem, someone unfortunately killed someone else, Bishogei, they should have much easier access to get into that town. So even if it's rush hour and there's a major traffic jam, you should still have plenty of room to be able to run into that town to be saved from the Goyel Hadam. How do you know? Where did you take this from? The 32 Amis? I'm Rafuna Maita Kro. What's the right? So the Pasik Tochen Lucha Haderech. So Shbam says a Haderech with a Hey Ayidia comes to tell us not just a Derech, but the Derech. Derech HaDerech. The Derech comes to tell you that we add on yet another dimensions of a Derech. Normally Derech HaRabim is 16. Since it's HaDerech, we make 2 times 16, which adds up to more or less 32. That's why it's got to be 32 Amis wide. Right. Derech HaMelech Ein Loshir. Shehamelech Poyritz Kedah Lasli Derech Ve'ein Memachem Yodai. The Melech has very, very wide, extreme powers. So extreme and so wide that he can go and make a get a derech anywhere he wants. He could tell people, remove your buildings or I'm going to go and demolish them and make a derech as wide as he wants, as long as he wants, and you cannot be moicha because he has the ultimate authority. Derech hakevein lo shiur, that if a person nebuch carrying a mess to his mokam kvura, he can go, they can traipse over personal property. Why? Mishim yakar shivcha, that's the covered a mess, and the owner of the property cannot shoo them away during the levai. Hamamot, what's the shear of a mokum mamad? And it's pari amru bastal kavin, and we already explained in the Mishnah that's 1,666.66 square amos. Tanurban, hamoicha kivrei, derech kivrei, mokum mamadai, ubeis espeidai, boi meni mishpacha, bekayman oisei al karachai mishum degam mishpacha. What happens if a person is so poor? He's so desperate. He has already sold all of his karkois. He has sold all of his metaltlin. He's already at the maximum of credit on all of his credit cards and all of his lines of credit. There is nowhere else to turn to. What did he do? He sold Nebuch the Mokim of his own kever. There was a family plot, and he was entitled to plot number 32A of this whole big family plot, and he sold that kever to somebody else, and with that got a couple of dollars. Or he sold Derech Kivrei. There was a Derech to get to his kever that also had a value. He sold that. He sold the Mokum HaModei, where the people get together for the Mamed after the Levaya. Or Beis HaSpeda, where people got together to hold eulogies. He sold that, and now never the person passed away. The Mishpacha can go and Bal Korchoi, against the will of the Lekeach, take back that property. But Rishbam says, but they have to pay him, obviously. They can't just go and confiscate the property. They have to repay him. Aye, but it was a legitimate sale. It's signed by a whole Bezdin, mit Ayonim, mit Edim, and he paid him money, and he made a chazaka. How can they take it away from the Keach? A special takana. It would be a tremendous genai, a tremendous bizoyin for the whole family. Here, the whole Smith family for generations has his family plot, and now John Smith is being buried somewhere else. Why was he buried somewhere else? Nebuchadnezzar Yitzchak such a shlemiel, such a shlemazel. He never made a dollar in his life, and he even had to go and sell his own kever. It's going to be a terrible, terrible gnai. So therefore, they can forcefully take back the property from the lekech and pay him for it, and go and bury their John Smith in that mokum kever. Tanurban, ain't poichsim yeshiva mamodis umoyshavis lames. We just spoke about the mamad. What is this mamad all about? That after the mess was buried, then the family members used to get together in seven locations. They stopped there briefly. Rishbam says the purpose of this was so that a chayit and a liboy to be able to go and start thinking about doing tshuva. See quickly the Rishbam. It's about another 3-4 lines lower than our Gemara. Mishiva mamodis umayshavois. Bechazirosim in a cave. When they're coming back from the cave, holchin ma'at, they walk a short distance, 10 feet. The yoishvim, they sit there. Lenachim ovel, for purposes of nicham avelim, like we do today, the shura. They would have the ovel sit down for a few minutes and everybody would be menachim. Oi, laharbis tsar alames, shemes, ulaharbis bebechi, After they sat down for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was, again they walked another 10 feet, and again and they did the Zayin Pa'omim 7 times. The whole life that a person goes through, unfortunately, is Havel Havol. Why did they do the 7 times back to the Gemara? Keneged, to go and replicate the Pasuk at the very beginning of Keheles, where the word Hevel is used 7 times. Shein Pasuk, Havel Havolim Omer Keheles, Havel Havolim HaKoyel Hovel. Havel is 1, Havolim is 2 more, because it's Lashon Rabbim, so that's 3, Havel Havolim is 3. Then again, we say Omer Keheles HaKoyel Hevel Havolim, Hevel Havolim is again 3 more, HaKol Hovel is number 7. So you have 7 altogether. That's why you do 7 Mamodis Umay Shabbos. Other Mephoshim, by the way, learned that it's not talking about after the Petira, and after the Kvura, but it means prior to the Kvura. And this prior to the Kvura is a minig even today in some communities, that when they take a mess to his ultimate resting place, that they go and carry the mess, put him down, they say Yoshe B'Seiser, and then it gets to the Pasuk, Ki Malacha, Bitzav Alacha, Bishmorcha, B'chol Drachacha, there's 7 words in that Pasuk, so then they say Ki, and then they pick up the mess, and then they go, put it down again, Malacha, etc., etc. I'm sure many of you are familiar with what we're talking about. Anyway, but Rishbam learns clearly it's the 7 Mamodis after the Kvura, not before the Kvura. And you do 7, Keneged Havel Aval. Omer Rabachim, Rei Rav, L'Rabashi. Heichi Avdi, what in fact, what was the whole Hulach Yelech, what did they do? Omlik Yerisanya, like I said, the Brayis, Omri B'Yehuda, B'Yehuda, B'Rishoyin Eloi Yepoichsim Yeshiva Ma'odis HaMashav HaSemes. In Yehuda, the minig was that they didn't have any less than 7. In other words, they even had more than 7. 10, 20, at least 7. And what would they say at the Ma'amad HaMashav? Kigoyin, Imdi Yekarim HaMoidu, Shvu Yekarim Shvu. Each time that they would go and come to a new one of these mamadis, they said, okay, everybody stop. Yikarim, meaning especially Avelim, sit down, especially if they're doing Ulta Nicham Avelim, presumably others also sat down, Tim Menachem, etc. So each time they said, stand up, or stop, stop. Or it could be at the end of the being there for 5 minutes, they said, okay, now Rabbi Yisai, get up again, and let's start moving on. Anyway, that's they did this 7 times. Amrulai. So now they said to Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, we cannot. The Shabbos Mutalasis came. This is not something that is only a during the Chol. You could do this in Shabbos too, because nothing wrong. We didn't talk about holding any hespedim over here. We didn't say you make a fire over there. All you did was you sat down, you stood up, and you said, get up, sit down, stop. Move. So
what? The Kvura is not going to be in
Shabbos. No, the Kvura is
poor. Wait. I know everybody gets very noisy, especially we're talking about a mess. It's a very messy situation. We're going to address these issues about when the Kvura was momentarily. Anyway, the Gemara now tells us an unfortunate story. Achse de Rami Bar Papa, the sister of Rami Bar Papa, Hava de Sivalei, was married to Rav Avia. So you have Rav Avia and his wife, Rebetzin Avia, who was the sister of Rami Bar Papa. Unfortunately, Shechiva, the Rebetzin of Rav Avia, never passed away. And after the Kvura, Rav Avia made for her Ovad Lo Mamaru Moshev, like we just spoke about. Sounds normal and fine. But the Gemara, although it doesn't tell us the details yet, we're going to see in a moment that a number of the things that Rav Avia did at the Ma'amar Moishev was not in accordance with the normal minhagim. And therefore the Gemara is going to be critical of Rav Avia in the way he made this Ma'amar Moishev. Om Rav Yosef, Torah Betarti, he made 2 mistakes. What are 2 mistakes? Torah Shein Oysen Ela Bekroivim, Vahu Ovar Afilu Berchoikim. Normally, my mother's and my shavuos, the only people that would do this the 7 times were immediate family members. We're not talking about the Avelim, because the Avelim, of course, they had to participate, because they were being Menucham, as Rishbam said before, people were being Menachem them. But we mean even cousins and uncles and aunts and further family members, they would participate in these Mamoris and Meshavais, but normally not strangers.
Rami Bar Papa was son of Papa, he had many brothers, all the Rami Bar Papa
is Rami Bar Papa. Is that good or bad?
He had a lot of program, right?
So could be that all of them were learning the daf at the time of this Gemara, and Rav Avia brought in many other strangers to do the mamadas and meshavis, and that was a mistake because ein oisam lekrayim vuavad afilu berechaykin. Number 2, v'tosh ein oisam biyom rishon vuavad biyom sheni. You're only supposed to do this when you come back from the mokam hakvura, when it's still on the same day, even if it's at night, says Rishbam, because midrabon aninus laila is also part of the aninus of the first day, the day of kvura, and what he did. did was, the day after the Kvura, he said, everybody, let's get together and do the seven Mamodas Meshavis. That's inappropriate. You're supposed to do it B'yom Rishon and not the next. B'yom Rishon up here doesn't mean Sunday and Monday. It means the day of the Kvura or the next day. So those are the two mistakes. But we're not finished yet. Abaye Omer Bahan Namito. He made another mistake. Shin Oysem Beisek Forest. Wu'asa Be'ir. He didn't take everybody back to the cemetery. Makes sense because it's already the next day. Everybody's home. He says, you know what? Let's get together here on Broadway, Western Avenue, or wherever, and let's go make Mamodis now in the middle of the street. No, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do it in the Beis HaChaim. When you're coming back from the Beis HaChaim. Rabbi Amabon Namito, we're not finished yet. He made another mistake. Shein oisen l'makim shenoagul, v'asam l'noag. Like we said in the Brachos before, Behuda noagul. Not everywhere. In that particular community, there was no minig. He wanted to make a psanayim minig, mamodis mashavis. That's not our minig over here. So there are four criticisms of what Rav Avya did. But the Gemara now is going to go back to the original question that a number of us, especially Reb Simcha Ilon, was asking before, or was trying to address before, about, you just said now you're supposed to do it after the Kvura, and we said that you can do it even on Shabbos. You can't do a Kvura on Shabbos. What's going on over here? Freit Gemara Meisvei, Amru Lai Chum said to Rab Yehuda, who was telling us about the minig in Yehuda, about the seven Moshavis and Mamodis, Amru Lai, can't have up Shabbos to ask, can you have to do it on Shabbos too? If you're telling me that you're only supposed to do Mamodis Moshavis in the cemetery, after the Kvura, on that same day, Basic Forest, B'Shabbos, my boy, what are they doing in the Basic Forest on Shabbos? They should all be in shul davening, learning, or at home eating cholent, singing zmiris. They shouldn't be out in the cemetery the first day of Kvura. You're not Kvura on Shabbos. What's going on here? Was Dr. Rabbi Cohen?
Who says you have to sing zmiris on Shabbos?
Oh, that's another good point, but that's really unrelated. Because I wanted you to respond. Everything was talking about the ear has smugl basic forest am to you, Bein HaShemashes. Unfortunately, the Levi was on Friday. By the time they got to the Beis HaChaim, it was shortly before Lechtzin. They did the Kvura quickly. Shnau, 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 it's almost Shabbos. Okay, they finished the Kvura. They said Tzidik, they didn't do Tzidik, it was already Erev Shabbos. But anyway, they're all done, and now they made the Shura, and now they're going home quickly to be able to still go to the Mikveh, and to go to Shul, and go to Davin, and etc., etc., and then be able to sing Zmiris later on at the Suda that Rabbi Cohen is not happy about. But anyway, the point is that it's already Shabbos now. Say the Chachamim, if all they did by these seven Mamodim Meshavas were stand up, sit down, be Menachem, go and Chayit and Levi, people do Tshuva, you can do Tshuva on Shabbos too, you don't have to do Tshuva during the week. Therefore, all of this is permissible on Shabbos. How can you do a Kvur on Shabbos? They didn't do a Kvur on Shabbos, they did a Kvur on Erev Shabbos. They did the Mamodim Meshavas post the Kvura, which was already encroaching into Shabbos, on the way home to go to Shul, to go and Daf. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Chayit and Levi, everything should be Matchai. Yeah.